Thank you, Brother Shelley and Brother James, for your service this morning. We're very thankful for everyone's presence here in our Bible class hour, and it's good that we can be together today to study another portion of God's Word. This morning, we're going to be focusing upon this song, Onward Christian Soldiers, as we think about our theme, Great Songs of the Church. This song is a wonderful old song that was written by an Englishman by the name of Sabine Baring Gould. And he wrote it in Yorkshire, England in 1865. It's a song that was written in order to help young children march from one town to another. They had a Bible class day in which they would take the children and they would march them from one small town to another small town in this Bible class day. And this man thought that, you know, we need a song to sing while we're marching from one town to another. And so he wrote this hymn and he gave it to these children. And you know, a lot of our hymns that are written and are dear to us for children. And we love these hymns and they teach great truths, because these hymns that are written for children are oftentimes simplified to the point that everyone can understand them. And who can not think about hymns like Jesus Loves Me and Jesus Loves the Little Children? And Onward Christian Soldiers is one of those hymns that's written for children. And it's also written for us as well, because it contains great truths within the Scriptures. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, if you would. The image of the Christian soldier is one that is familiar to all of us. And that's because the image of the soldier itself is familiar to every culture. Soldiers have certain qualities that are necessary for them to do their jobs. Qualities such as steadfastness and patience and endurance and obedience. And these qualities make them an excellent example for a particular aspect of being a Christian. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, he said this, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And yes, we have been enlisted as soldiers in the army of Christ. And so this morning, let's think about the Bible's describing Christians as soldiers, and the language of being a spiritual soldier, a Christian soldier. This language is a language that conveys the idea of our being in battle, albeit a spiritual battle, but nevertheless that there is a fight before us that we must fight and that we must endure, and through which we must even at times suffer. Well, as soldiers in the spiritual army as Christ, we do, though, have some wonderful blessings that soldiers in physical armies do not necessarily have. Think of these blessings that we have in Christ as Christian soldiers. First of all, we understand that Christ has led us and continues to lead us in the fight. He is our wonderful captain who goes before us and has already fought the battles that we fight on a daily basis. And so Christ leads us in the fight as we are Christian soldiers. Number two, Christ has won and He gives us the victory. And we'll talk about how Christ has overcome the world, and that we too can overcome through Him. And then finally, that Christ desires everyone to enlist in His army today. And as we've just sung this wonderful hymn, you'll notice that there is a call for others to come and to enlist in the armies of Christ and be a Christian soldier. So let's think about these three things as we think about this wonderful hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. First of all, we note this, that Christ has led us and leads us in the fight. Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Living the life of a Christian is and can be characterized as a spiritual fight. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Yes, we are in a fight. We are in a battle, and it's a battle for the hearts and minds of men, a battle for our own heart and mind. Yes, the Apostle Paul says, we don't war after the flesh, but we are certainly in a fight. And this fight is a spiritual battle. Consider Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, when the Apostle Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so there is a foe within this fight. Satan and all of his forces would have us to succumb and to give up and to stop following after Christ, or not to follow him at all. But the Bible teaches us that as spiritual soldiers, we need to be patient, steadfast, and endure as we continue through life each and every day. But the fight is not ours to fight alone. In fact, we fight this alongside one another, and we fight it alongside Christ himself. In Deuteronomy 20 and verse 4, there the promise was given to the nation of Israel, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." And as the Lord was with Israel to fight with them, the Lord is with us also to fight with us today. Consider Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 11. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Notice that we stand with the might of God, and that we put on the whole armor of God. It is his might. It is his armor that protects us, and it is his might that fights for us. You see, Christ stands with us as we go forth into battle, and as we, as Christian soldiers, fight the good fight of the faith. Christ has certainly led us in the fight, and he continues to lead us today. You see, Jesus fought the same battles that you and I fight today. But as we sometimes lose a battle to sin and Satan, when we commit sin and we do things that we shouldn't do, Jesus never lost a single fight. He never lost a single battle. And he has won the war. And he has prevailed over all the forces of Satan in that regard. Yes, he struggled with the same temptations that we struggle with. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we read, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Does Jesus know what it's like to be tempted? Yes, he does. Does he know what it's like to have to endure those temptations? Yes, he does. Does he know what it's like to have that temptation crawl underneath your skin and bother you to the point that you're ready to succumb? He knows what that's like. And he has overcome all of those things so that we can overcome through him. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, yea, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 9. You see, he overcame all. He knew what it was like to take the form of a servant. He knew what it was like to be in fashion as a man. He knew all of those things that we fight with on a daily basis and struggle with. He became obedient even unto death. And not just any death, but the death of the cross. And so, if he has overcome all these things, we can overcome through him. He has indeed led us in the fight, and he leads us in the fight today. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Christ has led us and leads us in the fight. But Christ has then won that fight, and he has given us the victory. Consider the second stanza of this song that we've sung, Onward Christian Soldiers. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Christ has won the victory over sin and death, and because of that, we together with Christ can go forward and be victorious ourselves. Consider Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 in this regard. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same. Now listen to this, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And so Jesus has destroyed him that has the power of death. He has overcome him. And through him, we have the victory over death as well. Think about Romans chapter 6 and verse 9 in that regard. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. What a wonderful blessing to know that Christ has been raised from the dead and he is never going to die again. And one day, that same will be true for us. Though we may experience physical death in this life, we will be raised from the dead, never to die no more, just as Christ was raised. These things I have spoken to you, John writes, that you might have peace, Jesus says. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John chapter 16 and verse 33. And so the Apostle Paul pens these words in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so through Christ, we have victory. Death's sting has been taken away because Christ has overcome all. And because he lived that perfect life, sin has no hold on him. And it's through him that we can overcome as well. We must then be faithful to him in everything that we do so that we can gain that victory. James writes in James chapter 4 and verse 7, Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And in Revelation 3 and verse 21, Jesus himself says, To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Yes, we have wonderful, beautiful victory in Christ. Christ has won, and he gives us the victory. And so we need to enlist in Christ's army today. We need to be valiant soldiers of the cross. If we're AWOL, we need to return to the one who loved us and fight for him in the things that he has commanded us to do. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Lift with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. You know, I don't know anyone who doesn't want to be on the winning side of any contest. It's no fun to lose, is it? Sometimes we can learn great lessons from losing in this life, and God has certainly provided opportunity for us to learn from our mistakes here. But we don't like to lose. We want to win. We want to be on the winning side in any contest, whether it's a game that we're watching on television or whether or not we're playing a board game with our family. You know, we want to win. That's just a natural desire that we have. And brethren, Christ has won the victory. And we are going to win through Him. Why would we not want to be on the side of Christ when we know that He has won and that we will win through Him? I don't know why anyone would not want to be on Christ's side when He has been given the victory. How can I know that I am on Christ's side? We must have faith in Him, first of all. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Yes, we can know that we're on Christ's side when we have faith in Him. When we put our trust and belief in the One who has overcome the world. We must also invite Christ into our lives. We cannot let Him stand on the outside of the door and continue to knock. No, we must open that door and let Him in. In Revelation 3, in verses 20 through 21, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Now listen to what He says next. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne." And so when we open that door to Christ and let Him in, He will give us the victory. But we must obey Him. This isn't a victory that is gained without obedience to our captain. He has gone before us. He has overcome all things. But He has given us our marching orders. And we must obey Him in that regard if we want to be saved. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9 we read, "Though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by all things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." And so if we desire that eternal salvation, we will obey Him as well. Yes, we must indeed do the Father's will as we join and enlist in and are faithful in Christ's army. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Why not enlist in the army of Christ today? Why not simply be a Christian soldier and be faithful to Him? Yes, we can be a Christian soldier through the plan that God has given, through obedience to His Word, in hearing the beautiful gospel. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it's impossible for us to be pleasing unto Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus Christ commands that we have faith in Him. He also commands that we repent of our sins. Think about what Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. "For the times of ignorance God once winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Inasmuch," he says in verse 31, "as He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. And He has given assurance unto us that He hath ordained Him, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." And so we must hear the gospel. We must have faith in that gospel. We must repent of our sins. And we must confess Jesus as the Son of God, as did the Ethiopian eunuch on the way to his destination, on the way to Ethiopia there, when Philip asked him, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" in Acts chapter 8. And he responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And then, in obedience to our Lord's command, we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. The Apostle Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so we must be baptized. In baptism, we wash away our sins. As Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." You see, it's in baptism when we call upon the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about because he had experienced that very thing when he wrote Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, when he said, "For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He wasn't asking anyone to do anything different than what he did when he called upon the name of the Lord. And so he was, in fact, saying, "Be baptized," in that passage. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And then he says, "How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preaching?" So you see, there's steps going on there in Romans chapter 10. There's the preaching, and then there's the hearing, and then there's the believing, and then there's the calling upon the name of the Lord. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. "How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?" Those are two different things, believing and calling upon the name of the Lord. Just as hearing is different from believing, just as preaching is different from hearing, preaching, hearing, believing, calling upon the name of the Lord. That's baptism. And in baptism, we die to the old man of sin and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 11. One can enlist in this great army of God by becoming a Christian, by following these simple steps, being obedient to the marching orders of Christ, and doing His will within our life. If perhaps one has gone AWOL from Christ, he is no longer living as he should. He's no longer following those marching orders. Christ has a plan for him as well to bring him back so that he can be faithful to him all the days of his life. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Yes, onward, Christian soldiers. Let us be faithful to our Master, the one who has led us and leads us in the fight. Let us realize that Christ has won and that He gives us the victory today, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And let us enlist in and be faithful in His army this very hour. And if we've been living faithfully, let us continue to do that, knowing that a great victory awaits for us when this life is over. Onward, Christian soldiers. Well, you've been a wonderfully splendid audience this morning. Thank you so much for listening. We'll go ahead and dismiss our class at this time, and then we will reconvene at our appointed time, 9:25, for our worship service. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you.